नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। So we are reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter number 78, entitled The Killing of Dantavakra and Roma Harshana. Text number 38. Rishiha Uchuho इल्वलस्य सुतो घोरु बल्वलो नाम दानवः सादुष्यन्ति न सत्रम् एत्य पर्वणि पर्वणि। ऋषयः उचुः इल्वलस्य सुतो घोरु बल्वलो नाम दानवः सदुष्यति न सत्रम् एत्य पर्वणि पर्वणि। ऋषयः उचुः इल्वलस्य सुतो घोरु बल्वलो नाम दानवः सदुष्यति न सत्रम् एत्य पर्वणि पर्वणि। इत्य पर्वाणि पर्वणि। इल्वलस्य सुतो भोरु बल्वलो नाम दानवः सदुष्यति न सत्रम् इत्य पर्वणि पर्वणि। ऋषः उचुः इल्वलस्य सुतो घोरु बल्वलो नाम दानवः सदुष्यति न सत्रम् एत्य पर्वणि पर्वणि। मातचीस। ऋषः उचुः इल्वलस्य सुतो घोरु बल्वलो नाम दानवः सदुष्यति न सत्रम् एत्य पर्वणि पर्वणि। इल्वलस्य सुतो घोरु बल्वलो नाम दानवः सदुष्यति न सत्रम् एत्य पर्वणि पर्वणि। ऋषयः उचुः। द सेजेस सेड इल्वलस्य ऑफ इल्वल सुतः द सन घोरः फियर्सम बल्वलः नाम नेम्ड बल्वल दानवः डीमन सह ही दुष्यति कंटामिनेट्स नः अवर सत्रम सैक्रिफाइस एत्यः coming. Parvani, Parvani. On each new moon day. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The sages said, a fearsome demon named Balwal, the son of Ilwal, comes here every new moon day and contaminates our sacrifice. Purport. This is one line purport. First, the sages tell Balramji the favor they would like him to do for them. So, Hare Krishna. Om Akhyana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrachatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padhan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishubhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadhaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam, Pangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripatamaham Vande, Shri Guru Dinatharinam Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from this chapter 78 entitled The Killing of Dantavakra and Romaharshan. And these are the last few verses of this chapter where both of them have been very kindly liberated by Krishna and Balaram. And just a brief background of where we are, briefly, just to see. First of all, I like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees so that I can speak. Not a similar but a parallel situation. All great sages were sitting there and somehow who was unqualified as per Balramji was made to sit. So then Balramji had to do that treatment for him and put him down on the floor. So I hope nobody has blades of grasses here. Maybe there should be a screening before we Of course, good thing is here we don't have like they had only one person speaking for 1,000 years. We have rotation changes, so it's safe. But still, I feel something put in a similar situation, because one of the arguments which Sri Balramji gives is that he did not recognize, of course, the first thing was Balramji as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And secondly, Balramji could see among the sages sitting, there were many, many more exalted personalities who were there, who were fit to be there. And somehow, he was elected. I don't know how that election happened, but definitely not like what we see elections. But somehow he was chosen by all the, because there were like a huge varieties of people who were there. Like different sages, some learned scholars, some ascetics, some different brahmanas. It's like a huge mela or a gathering of varieties of sadhus were there. So the different range of transcendentalists. So all of them were there in Naimisharanya. So this is the background where all of them are sitting to do a pure yajna for the benefit of all the society in Naimisharanya. And our Roma Harshanji has been appointed to be on the Vyasasana and address the assembly. And herein our Sri Balramji walks in on his pilgrimage. He decided not to fight or participate between the Kauravas and Pandavas, the fight. So he is on his pilgrimage and arrives there, and as soon as he enters the arena, all the great learned people, the sadhus, the brahmanas, all of them could recognize that this is not an ordinary person. Even though he's a Kshatriya, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unfortunately, one person who was sitting on the Vyasasana at that place, he could not recognize or see Sri Balramji as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He saw him as an ordinary Kshatriya. So therefore, Prabhupada, of course, various places give different definitions here, and in this particular context Prabhupada describes that education or learning means to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada in the Krishna book writes that this is what it means to be learned or educated, is one should know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore Balramji says that he seems to be knowing, well versed with all the scriptures, but the essence or the main principle of learning, which is to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is missing. You know that famous story when Srila Prabhupada went to MIT. Prabhupada asked the people there, do you have any course on Almighty? So that was the real knowledge which was missing there. So therein Balramji realizes that this person is not the fit candidate or the right choice. We need to do a re-election. So therefore, and for not recognizing the Supreme Personality and not understanding who his audience was, the exalted audience, and he accepted that higher seat or position, so Balramji made the seat vacant by, through his blade of grass, just killed him. And of course Balramji remembers that he is anyway from a Pratiloma background, of course very, if not properly understood, could be a very controversial. Of course, in the present day setting, we see so many arguments or so many fighting happen on this. So here in Pratilom is described somebody who is born from a Kshatriya father and a higher caste lady, that a Brahmana lady. So Prabhupada in the Krishna book brilliantly explains that Romarshan's transcendental realization is not perfect. And therefore Balramji remembered his pratilom or his background. But Srila Prabhupada clarifies that any man may be given the chance to become a Brahmana. Any man can be given a chance to become a Brahmana. But if he improperly uses that and does not exhibit the qualities of a Brahmana without actual realization, then in that scenario his elevation to Brahmanical position is not valid. So this is the reason Srila Prabhupada explains that knowledge without humility is like a serpent with a valuable jewel on it. So whether he may have a valuable, most priceless jewel on his head, but the serpent is dangerous and probably more dangerous. We have experience in this world. The most problems created in this world are by the so-called most educated people in this world. We have seen examples, so many examples. The more the qualified the personality is in terms of material education, or not having the humility and the right wisdom to use that knowledge, creates the greater havoc. Even in spiritual societies we have seen, those who have the greatest of the knowledge but no humility can lead to disaster. And therefore Balaramji rightly, very aptly purifies him, and then in this verse of course, and very great humbly Balaramji accepts that, okay, this is what has been done. If you want, I can absolutely revive him. And Prabhupada explained that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can actually revive it. So nobody can take life unless he has the capability to revive him. And he can, Balaramji says, if you want, I can revive him. Not even revive him, give him the blessings which you had given him, and even more. But of course, the sages understood that it's the Lord's desire. So that we don't want to revert it back. But please do something which can be done. Same time, your wish is done and our wish is also done. And as we know, all the contradictions are resolved in the absolute. Balaramji very wonderfully blesses his son Ugrashrava Sut and appoints him and gives him all the blessings. And then he asks that, how can I serve all of you and do the atonement? And then they describe in this verse that, dear Balaramji, there is one problem which we are facing here, that there is one demon, our Balwal, he is coming every new moon day, and please help us by killing him. So like that, this is the till this verse, that's what is described in the Krishna book. Srila Prabhupada beautifully describes, and we see it's very, very, in one sense, that perspective, one has to be really, really qualified to sit on a Vyasasana. Otherwise, Balaramji, as we see how, and especially in the assembly of sages, so therefore again I seek the blessings. But of course, Mahaprabhu's Leela is a little, Mahaprabhu is more merciful, and he, the way how he deals with great scholarly personalities, I thought we'll just see here in this today. How, so we are living in Kali Yuga, so we need some concession. So we are the, as Gaurang Prabhu was mentioning on the Gaur Purnima class, like we are the precipitate. Satyuga we could not go back, the Treta, Dwapar we could not go back. So the last rung of people who could not go back. So we are those people, so we need a special discount or a concession to somehow sit on Vyasasana and speak and get purified. So this is Lord Chaitanya's special. So he performed various wonderful leelas and pastimes to attract all kinds of varieties of people. He wanted to include all of them, from the greatest scholars. He converted the greatest of the scholars and attracted, even in his initial leelas, the pastimes, he himself exhibited as the greatest of the scholars, as Nimai Pandit, that nobody in that area could defeat him. And then he attracted those type of people, and later on he became a devotee and a very humble servant. He would wash the devotees' clothes, serve them, bring their clothes to their room, and do wonderful services and attracted them. And in this way he performed wonderful leelas. So we'll see one of the pastimes, how Mahaprabhu attracted even those who were rebellious at that time, how he actually personally, even somehow, it was his desire that those who are actually rebellious him, those who are actually coming to beat him, Mahaprabhu wanted to even attract them. So before we come to that, we'll just speak one of the beautiful pastimes and then come to the pastime which we are referring here. So Mahaprabhu performed various wonderful pastimes, performing his kirtans at the house of different devotees, Srivas Angan especially. Even in the day, even in the night, they would perform kirtan. And then, of course, he performed the kirtan, the first kirtan on the streets of Navadvip also. And then one time, he would perform sometimes kirtan in the house of Shuklambar Brahmachari. He was one of the very poor beggars, like a Brahmachari poor, and he, like, or the Brahmacharis, or whatever, of the past, the poor Brahmachari. May not be applicable today, but then he was very poor and very beggar and very living a simple life. And Mahaprabhu one time expressed that, I would like to have some rice at your house. And I would like to come in for prasad at your house. So Mahaprabhu specifically says, I want to have rice. Knew probably he won't be able to afford money much. So Mahaprabhu also says, I would like to come and honor rice at your house. I would love to taste your devotion in the house. And Shuklambar being very poor and I'm sure must be having a very, very small house. Anyone has seen his house in Navadvip? Navadvip, we have any reference where his house is? Anyone knows Shuklambar's house? So we don't know even now. Of course, many of the Lord's associates' houses are visible and seen. So probably that is even not there now. Maybe some small house could be there. So Mahaprabhu, he was very feeling like ashamed that, Mahaprabhu, I am such a sinful person. I am such a small, insignificant ant. How can you come to my house and take prasad? But Mahaprabhu said, no. I want to come to your house. It is my greatest desire to come to your house and honor rice prasad. So Mahaprabhu said, okay. Then he was thinking, what should we do? Then Mahaprabhu said, I am coming today evening, afternoon to your house for prasad. So there was no time for preparation also that he could clean or something. Mahaprabhu said, I am coming today to your house for prasad. So Shuklambar was like very morose and very confused. What should we do? And what to do in such circumstances? Ask the devotees. So there were many devotee friends. He went to them. Hey, this is the situation, Prabhus. What should I do? Mahaprabhu wants to come to my house for prasad. And such an insignificant person I am. I have no qualification to cook, nor means to cook. And such an exalted personality. Mahaprabhu is going to come to our house. What should I do? Of course, the devotees explained him, wow, it is your great fortune. Mahaprabhu is coming to your house for prasad. Because there were many invitations would come, especially in Jagannath Puri. This is, of course, in Navadvip. Even in Jagannath Puri, many, many invitations would come to Mahaprabhu for prasad to different houses. And even great devotees like Advaitacharya and all, they would invite. And they would also get sometimes chance like once a month or once in few months to get Mahaprabhu to their home. And here the devotees were saying, wow, what a great fortune that Mahaprabhu personally wants to come. And they were saying, anyways, on the spiritual point of view, no one is different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Don't worry, it is the Lord's desire. He loves to beg and take prasad. And they were saying how he went to the house of Vidur, even though Duryodhanji had prepared like 56 bhog or maybe more items to have the Lord come to his house. And the Lord went to Vidurji's place and have the prasad, Rukho Saga, or some people say the banana peels he had. We can imagine how the banana peels would taste, me. Anyone has tried eating banana peels? We can imagine, that is Krishna who is bhavagrahi. He can eat the banana peels and relish it. It's not that, simple prasad is alright, but banana peels probably would be difficult. If anyone invites any one of us and asks to come for prasad, and instead of that they offer some simple prasad, then also it becomes, are, yehi banaya tha, ye to mandir mein hi kha lete. But here in this wonderful, the Lord, of course, the devotees are also happy when served with love and devotion. But just to make the point that the Lord, the devotees encourage him that you should go actually and let the Lord come to your house and please serve the Lord very, very nicely with whatever capacity you have. And then some of the devotees suggested that if you're feeling that lowly, then what you may do is, you may cook prasad, but don't touch it with your hands. That's another difficult challenge now. You cook it, but don't touch. If you feel ki, bhai, mera haath saaf nahi hai, main kaise kar sakta hu bhagwan ke liye, then theek hai, bina haath lagaye cook, chawal bana dena. So, then he thinks he's very fortunate, and so Shuklambarji goes house, immediately takes his bath, get ready, and wear the best of whatever clothes he had, probably only one set. And then he had that scented rice, or scented water. You know, that's how Vrindavan Das Thakur describes, boil the scented water and puts the rice in that. And mix. And then he put some banana stem also in that, because he didn't want to touch, so boil that banana stem and that pindi, simple vegetable which he prepared, and then he folded his hands, and Jai Krishna, Jai Govinda, Hare Murari, and then he chants Krishna's names, and then he begins to cook for Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu was coming actually to taste this part, the devotion of Shuklambar Brahmachari, how he would personally, with great devotion and love, he would cook. And beautifully described that actually when somebody comes with such, cooks with such great devotion for the lordships, Lakshmi Devi personally comes to his house and glances at the pots, and everything becomes nectar. That was simple rice nectar that was being prepared just by the glance of Lakshmi Devi. Wherever the kirtan is there, Lord Narayan's name is there, Lakshmi Devi rushes. Recently I was just talking to one devotee, he was mentioning that the vahan of Lakshmiji is Ullu, owl. I heard this recently, that the vahan of Lakshmiji is Ullu. So whenever anyone asks for Lakshmiji to come alone, she comes on owl. Ullu pe aati hai. So aadmi fir Ullu ban jata hai saath mein. Ullu pe aati hai. So that affects. But whenever everyone chants the names of God and invites Narayan, then she comes on Garudji with Narayan. So that is what you are looking for. Lakshmi with Narayana, worshipping Sita with Ram, worshipping Mother Shrimati Radharani with Krishna. So anyway, Lakshmi Devi personally comes and glances and makes the beautiful nectarian rice for her master, Shriman Mahaprabhu. So after bathing, the afternoon bathing, Mahaprabhu comes, and he always never comes alone. So when the Lord comes, he comes with his associates. Nityananda Prabhu and all the other wonderful associates comes. And then Shuklambar Brahmachari offers the prasad to Mahaprabhu. Of course, Mahaprabhu personally offers that to Lord Vishnu. And then he actually sits to honor that rice and whatever, that raw banana stem which was there. And when, as Mahaprabhu is honoring that prasad, he's glorifying Shuklambar's devotion. And Mahaprabhu said that, since my birth, I have never tasted such a wonderful rice preparation. Of course, Sachi Mata and Vishnu Priya, and they must be preparing excellent prasad, but Mahaprabhu is glorifying here Shuklambar's devotion that since birth, he has never tasted such wonderful rice. It was not the quality of the rice, it was the devotion which was there in the rice, which Mahaprabhu was describing. Mahaprabhu said, I cannot describe the taste of the banana stem which they have prepared, such wonderful. And then Mahaprabhu says that it is for friends like you, Shuklambar, that I incarnate in this world. It is your great devotion that make me come. And when all the devotees, they heard it, they became very, very joyful, and they were crying and rolling, and great ecstasy was there in the house of Shuklambar. Small house, but great ecstasy was overflowing in that house. Of course, Vrindavan Das Thakur loudly proclaims, let the sinful non-devotee millionaire see what ecstasy flows in the house of a poor Shuklambar Brahmachari. So it is the devotion that pleases Krishna. He says, let the sinful non-devotee millionaire or billionaires see what ecstasy flows in the house of Shuklambar Brahmachari. And then of course, all the devotees honored the Mahaprasad, which is revered even by Lord Shiva and Brahmaji. That Mahaprasad of Sriman Mahaprabhu was honored by all the loving associates, Nityananda Prabhu, Chandrasekhar Acharya, and others, those who were present on that day. And then Mahaprabhu honored the betel nuts. And then they did some Krishna Katha there in the house of Shuklambar, and then took some rest. Whatever the Ayurveda doctors may say, but Mahaprabhu would take rest after the prasad. So some rest in his house. And all the devotees also lay down on their left side, and they were taking, relaxing and taking rest. And while Mahaprabhu was lying, somehow he just moved, and his long arm touched the body of Sri Vijay, another great devotee who was present in that assembly. And he was one of the personalities whom Mahaprabhu would take his help for copying books. He was like the Xerox. At that time they didn't have that Xerox facility or copying facility. So he would do that service of actually copying for Mahaprabhu, Sri Vijay Prabhu. He was the copier for Sriman Mahaprabhu. So he was there. And Lord's hands somehow touched his body. As soon as Sriman Mahaprabhu's hands touched Sri Vijay's body, the long, he just got up and he saw there's a huge, long, golden pillar type of a thing, which is Mahaprabhu's hand, which is decorated with wonderful jewels and armors, and there are like rings, jewel rings on his hands, and it was as if shining millions of suns and moons. And as soon as he experienced that great ecstasy of the touch of Sriman Mahaprabhu, he experienced great joy, transcendental joy and ecstasy, that he just immediately wanted to shout. And then Mahaprabhu places his hand on his mouth and tells him to stop. Please do not disclose anything as long as I am there in this world performing my pastimes. So please do not speak to anyone. What a great difficult task, isn't it? In simple, somebody tells us, please don't tell anyone, it's so difficult. And when you experience such great joy, transcendental happiness, Mahaprabhu personally giving you darshan, and then Mahaprabhu is saying, don't tell. How difficult that would be. Man, we can imagine. But he couldn't restrain himself, but couldn't reveal also. See, he got up and shouted loudly, he's chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. He was chanting very loudly though. So then he was chanting and roaring, and with great ecstasy he was dancing. And then Mahaprabhu himself asked, hey, what happened to Sri Vijay? Why is he dancing? He knows, but he is the one asking everyone, hey, what is happening? Why is he dancing? What has he experienced? So all the devotees are trying to pacify him, but nobody is able to pacify him. Maybe then the Lord says, maybe it is the effect of Ganga Mai. He is a great worshipper of Ganga. Or maybe Mahaprabhu says, he would reveal many times, that maybe the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is there in the house of Shuklambar, and he saw some opulence of Krishna. We know who that personality was. Mahaprabhu himself was there. And maybe only Krishna knows what Sri Vijay has seen. And so finally Mahaprabhu had to personally go and touch him. And then he's pacified. Of course this was not easy for him. For the next 7 days he stayed in that shock or inert state. Sometimes these shocks, when it takes some time to absorb. Like even sometimes if somebody sees a ghastly scene or a great accident, not a great accident, but a very fearsome accident and blood, so those impressions go deep. But here it are spiritual experiences which go so deep. He just couldn't restrain himself. 7 days, he was just walking like a zombie. He just didn't know what to do, what to speak, just couldn't speak anything. Walking on the streets of Navadvipa. And then later on, after 7 days, he could just come to his senses. Oh, finally he realized, I'm not supposed to speak, and this is the glory of Lord Gauranga. Of course, in this way, Mahaprabhu performed pastimes in different devotees' houses. He would go to different devotees, perform kirtans, of course, primarily at Shiva Sangan, but in other devotees' house also. He would do kirtan. And in different moods, sometimes in the mood of Varahadev, sometimes in the mood of Vamandev, sometimes in the mood of Narsingadev, sometimes in the mood of Balramji asking for Varuni. So everyone would be like confused, give me wine, the Mahaprabhu would ask for, and then Nityanandapur had to pacify at many occasions. And one time, this is also interesting, he came in the mood of the Viraha Bhav of the Gopis of Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu was chanting, Gopi, 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 Vrindavan. Where is Gopi, Gopi and Vrindavan? He's chanting loudly and not controlled by anyone. And then one of the students who was the friends of Mahaprabhu, very proud by himself, he comes for some reason to Mahaprabhu's house, and Mahaprabhu is chanting, Gopi, Gopi! And then this personality, when he comes, he sees this Brahmana, hey, what is this Gopi, Gopi you are chanting? Where in the scriptures it says, chant the Gopi name, you should chant the names of Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the deliverer of all, you should chant. And as soon as he said that, not understanding Sriman Mahaprabhu's mood, he became so angry, he became literally very, very angry, and in great rage, he said, why do you think I should worship Krishna? He is a rogue. What has Krishna done to us? And then Mahaprabhu started quoting, like, what did Krishna do when the form of Lord Ram? He killed Vali from behind without any reason. He chopped off Shrupatnaka's ears and tongue under his influence of his wife. And in as form of Vamandev, he came and he stepped on Bali Maharaj and took all his wealth by cheating. So in this way, Mahaprabhu became really angry. Why should I worship Krishna? And then he took a stick actually, which was there in the house, and started running behind that boy. So that was like a great shock for him, and he started running to save his life. And finally, the devotees come and pacify Mahaprabhu. Please, please. And then that student, that Brahmana student, when he went, he started talking, hey, you know what happened today? I was saved today. I was about to be beaten by that son of Jagannath Mishra. What does he think of himself? He's not chanting the names of Krishna, and he's saying filthy words for Krishna, which I cannot even tell you in such an assembly of the Brahmanas. What are you saying? What type of a Vaishnava is? He's not chanting the names of Krishna and running to beat a Brahmana. We should retaliate. He says, what does he think of himself? He thinks he's a son of great Jagannath Mishra, but we are also not the sons of some simple Brahmanas. Our parents are very exalted also. So that was the discussion which was happening. And he said, next time they decide that if Mahaprabhu, Lord Gauranga, comes like this, we will also beat him. So now this is the turning point, which brings us to the point wherein Mahaprabhu was thinking what to do now. He was one time in the assembly of the devotees, and he starts to laugh, and then he chants one verse wherein he says that I had come to give this medicine of Pipla Khanda. It's an Ayurvedic medicine which is supposed to reduce the cough in a person's body. But now I see it is having just the opposite effect. What is happening? And Mahaprabhu started to laugh. Of course, nobody understood what Mahaprabhu is meaning by that. Except one person, Nityananda Prabhu, is the most due to Lord Chaitanya. He became very anxious when he realized that Mahaprabhu is going to take soon sannyas. He was going to leave us. Just that fear of Mahaprabhu leaving gave so much remorse to Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Of course, after a while, Mahaprabhu takes Sri Nityananda Prabhu by his side in a solitary place. And then Mahaprabhu tells him that I'm going to reveal you my heart. That Mahaprabhu says, I have come here to deliver the whole world, but I am seeing here what is happening now, that there are certain people who are coming to attack me, to hit me. They were bound by one rope in the influence of Maya, but by coming to attack me, they are being bound by millions of ropes. The whole purpose of my incarnation is getting defeated. Even though many people have come to the shelter of the holy name, but there are few people, the proud people, who are not able to accept me. They are coming to beat me. They are getting more and more entangled. They are getting destroyed by doing this. So therefore, to get these people also, to get each one of us, Mahaprabhu decides that he will give up his most beautiful, chaste wife, the comforts of and the loving association of all his wonderful devotees, Advaita Acharya, Srivas Thakur, Gadadhar, Pandit, and wonderful, all the wonderful devotees. And then Mahaprabhu tells Nityananda Prabhu that I'm going to soon leave my house, shave myself, give up my thread, and roam like a beggar and go to these people who are about to beat me and beg at their lotus feet and let me see now if they come to beat me. That is Sriman Mahaprabhu. He is willing to take the beating of all the people to make them bow down at his lotus feet. That is Mahaprabhu's movement. Prithvi ache ate nagaradi gram sarvatra prachar hoye bema naam. This is the mood which Mahaprabhu is setting for all the preachers, to go and beg to each and every one whatever it takes to make them humble, to accept Krishna consciousness. So here in Mahaprabhu, he says that these people are not taking, so let me personally take sannyas. And that time, nobody will disrespect a sannyasi. So they will come and beg to me and beg forgiveness from me, and then they will be delivered. As a sannyasi, let me see who comes to beat me now. And Mahaprabhu tells him, Nityananda Prabhu, you know the purpose of my incarnation, but still, you must give me the permission But keep in mind the purpose of my incarnation. Of course, Nityananda Prabhu, when he hears this, his mind, his body, his life years completely got shattered. He just couldn't think what to reply. And then he finally said, Mahaprabhu, you are supremely independent, supreme personality of Godhead. Who can tell you what to do? You are the maintainer of the three worlds. You have come to deliver, but you may do whatever you like. But just ask your other servants also, other devotees, you may ask them. Mahaprabhu was completely satisfied seeing Nityananda Prabhu's response, and they repeatedly embraced him, went to him, embraced him again and again, and satisfied. And then Mahaprabhu goes to other devotees. But then Nityananda Prabhu realized, what did I say? And then thinking about Sachi Mata, how will she bear Nimaya's separation? Nityananda Prabhu faints. He gets up again, he goes to a solitary place and cries, just thinking about the pain which Sachi Mata is going to experience. Of course, Mahaprabhu then goes to different devotees. Then he goes to Mukunda's place and asks him to sing and chant. He would sing always, many times for the Lord's pleasure with great devotion. And then finally Mahaprabhu controlled himself and tells him, Mukunda, I will not stay here anymore. I will leave home. I will give up my shikha and give up my Brahmin thread. I will shave up my head. As soon as Mukunda heard this, he just stopped the kirtan. He lost all sense of happiness. He just couldn't see what to say. Finally he says, Mahaprabhu, please stay for some more days and do kirtan. Mahaprabhu goes to Gadadhar. He offered obeisances to Gadadhar as soon as he sees Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu tells him, Gadadhar, hear what I have to tell you. Gadadhar is also fearful what Mahaprabhu is going to say. I am going to leave my home to search for Krishna. I will give up my shikha. I will go wherever I please to go. Just hearing those words were like thunderbolt falling on the head of Gadadhar Pandit. He became completely puzzled. And then he told Mahaprabhu, what are you saying, Gauranga? What are you saying? You are saying that a grahastha cannot be a Vaishnava? He cannot attain Krishna? This is your opinion that you should go and take sannyas to search for Krishna? Even the Vedas say that a grahastha can search for Krishna. And have you ever thought about your mother? She will definitely leave her body as soon as you step out and take sannyas. So in this way, Mahaprabhu finally moves from that place, not understanding what to answer. And then in this way, he goes to different devotees and the news spread everywhere. And everyone is drowned in the ocean of distress. The whole Navadvip, all the devotees, they just were completely absorbed in the thought that Mahaprabhu would leave, he would go wherever, we don't know where he will go and we will not be able to see him. They just lost any interest in eating, sleeping, everything, they lost their appetites. Of course, finally Mahaprabhu realizes this is getting too much, so he comes and solaces all the devotees, get them all together, that wherever you are, I will be there, do not worry, I am always with you, I will never leave you. Birth after birth, I have been with you and you have been with me in different lives. We have served together, we have enjoyed pastimes together, so do not worry, I will leave you. This is not just in this life that we have stayed together. And then Mahaprabhu says that in my two more forms I will incarnate, in the form of kirtan and ananda. And you can experience my presence in the joyful kirtan. I have taken this sannyas to teach others this process of kirtan and ananda. So give up all your anxiety. And Mahaprabhu personally went to each and every devotee, solaced him, embraced him. Of course, the news spread so much that eventually it reached. Nobody wanted to tell Sachi Mata, but you cannot hide such news. Even though no internet, but still you can't hide these news. When Sachi Mata heard the first time that Nimai Pandit would also, his dear Nimai, would also leave, she became lifeless as soon as she heard the news. She repeated, she couldn't understand where she is. She repeatedly fell unconscious. Torrents of tears were coming from her eyes. First, her previous son has left. Father has, her husband also left. So only Nimai was her only hope. So one day Sachimata spoke to Mahaprabhu, his son Gauranga, that Nimai, I am surviving just by seeing you alone. That is the only reason I am surviving. You are doing such wonderful kirtan. There are such loving devotees are there. Advaita Acharya is there. Srivas Thakur is there. Nityananda Prabhu is there. Your dearmost Gadadhar is there. Why don't you do kirtan with them in your house? Many of us have heard that from our mothers, of course. But then Maharshi Mata is saying that you are the personification of all the religious principles. What kind of religious principle is this, that leaving your mother in great despair and going to give the world the holy name? What kind of this religious principle is this? Mahaprabhu, quiet, no answer, kept his head down. She explains that your brother left me and then your father died. This is not proper for you to leave a widowed mother. I look at your two eyes filled with love, two long arms. Your words emanating from your mouth are like nectar which are giving me life. And the whole house is illuminated by your effulgence. We don't need any lamps. It was like Kaushalya trying to persuade Lord Ram to stay back. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't have any answer. He just kept his head down, did not speak. And in the days to follow, Mahaprabhu could see Sachimata getting pale and stopped eating like many of the Navadvip Vasis. And then Mahaprabhu finally took Sachimata in a solitary place, in a confidential place, and pacified her. That, my dear mother, you have not been my mother just in this life. As Prishni, I was born as your son, and then as Aditi, I was born from your womb. Then as Devahuti, as Kaushalya, as Devaki, and now in this I have come and taken birth from you. I have taken this birth to inaugurate Harinam Sankirtan. And along with Harinam Sankirtan, I am going to give two more births. As the form of my Vigraha, Archavigraha, you are my mother. As in the form of Mother Earth. In the form of holy name, you are my mother as the tongue. So birth after birth, we have stayed together and performed wonderful leelas. There is no separation. Please do not aggrieve anymore. I have sincerely disclosed this to you. So please accept that there is no separation between you and me at any point of time. And then of course Mahaprabhu absorbed in the kirtan ecstasy, and the wonderful kirtans were happening for a few more days, and devotees got absorbed and forgot. That is the power of absorption, the holy name. Just one forgot everything. And then one day finally, when the time was about to come for him to take sannyas, Mahaprabhu called for Nityananda Prabhu again. As Mahaprabhu told, that on this coming Makar Sankranti day in the morning, I'm going to leave for Katwa, the Kantak Nagar, and take this renounced order from Sripad Keshav Bharati Maharaj. You may go and explain these to five people, to tell my mother Sachimata. You may tell this to Gadadhar Bhamananda Bharati, Sri Chandrasekhar Acharya, and Mukunda. These five devotees, you can just go and inform them that on the day of Makar Sankranti, I will be going. And on that day, when that day came, there was ecstatic kirtan happening as usual in the daytime, and in the evening Mahaprabhu goes for the beautiful Ganga Darshan, seek the blessings of Ganga Mai before he goes on his mission for which he had incarnated. And at the home also many devotees were surrounded, enjoying happily the beautiful form of Sriman Mahaprabhu with a beautiful garland and sandalwood paste and beautiful limbs and golden form and interacting, and Mahaprabhu was the last, not the last, but the as incarnate, last message which he gave to the devotees, that Bhajo Krishna, Kaho Krishna, Gao Krishna, Naam, when I am gone. He didn't say that when I am gone, but he was saying, Krishna Vinu Keho Kichu Na Bhavyo An. There's no one else other than Krishna. Just chant the names of Krishna, sing Krishna, worship Krishna, even while sleeping, even while chanting, any chanting one should, even while sleeping, even while honoring Prasad, even while walking, even while talking, one should remember Krishna. And then he glanced mercifully. And then everyone went home, not knowing that they will not see their beloved Lord in the most beautiful form which they were seeing. Of course, in the evening, our Sridharji comes with a bottle guard, allow. In the evening he comes and Mahaprabhu says, hey, Sridhar, how did you bring this? Where did you bring this from? And Mahaprabhu was thinking, I am leaving early in the morning tomorrow. And no preparation or nothing which Sridhar offers can go waste. Of course, Mahaprabhu would take everyday prasad on Sridhar's plate. That was the proprietary plate of Mahaprabhu. Like that. These cricket players, you know, they have their own the bat. They will have like a band and then whatever MRF or this band, and then charge hundreds and thousands of rupees. But Sridhar would have that proprietary plate. Mahaprabhu would eat only on Sridhar's plate. That was the great fortune of Sridhar Kulavich. So then Mahaprabhu tells Mother Sachi that prepare this preparation of love, something you can prepare. And then that time, inspired, a brahmana comes with a milk pot, and then Sachi Mata prepares that wonderful kheer, which was the last meal Mahaprabhu took in his house in Navadvip. And in the Brahma Murat, when it came, Sachi Mata was sitting right on the doorway. She knew, as informed by Nityananda Prabhu, that she is going to Nimai, is going to leave. So she was crying the whole night, could not sleep the whole night, sitting on the doorway. So as soon as Sriman Mahaprabhu goes out, he holds Sachi Mata's hands and pacifies her, tells her that, Mother, you are the one who maintained me. You are the one who raised me, made me study. You never thought about your personal happiness. The affection which you showered at me at every moment cannot be repaid in millions of kalpas by me. Every moment the affection which you showered on me, I cannot repay that in millions of kalpas. I am always indebted to you. Please do not lament. I take full responsibility for you, for both your worldly and spiritual needs. I will fully take care of you. Do not worry. And then Mahaprabhu places his hand on the chest of his mother and begs her that, please do not feel the separation. I will be there with you always. I will take full care of you always. With these words, Mahaprabhu takes the dust from her lotus feet, performs the pradakshina, and just walks away, leaving her in despair, crying. And therein, of course, in the morning when all the devotees come, when they saw Sachi Mata sitting right on the doorway, crying, 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 unable to speak what happened, Srivas Thakur asked. She was such inert crying, she had no answer. Somehow she held her courage and she said, take away all the things of the home. I don't need any of this. Everything of which belongs to the Lord belongs to them, to all of you, the devotees. Take everything. Take away everything. I don't need anything. And I am going. And gradually all the devotees came, and the whole Navadvip was engulfed in an ocean of sorrow and tears and crying. And then the atheists, the brahmanas who were very proud, when they saw the devotees crying, when they realized what a great mistake which we have done. Now we will not be able to see Nimai Pandit, that same brahmana who had taken decision that we will beat Sriman Mahaprabhu. They were also engulfed in crying. So Mahaprabhu's mission, which was to make them humble and make them submit to him, at this point became successful. And eventually in Kantak Nagar, very beautifully, Srimad Mahaprabhu accepts sannyas for, so that all of us can experience the joy of Harinam Sankirtan. So that is Mahaprabhu's personally taking that pain of separation from his devotees and beloved personalities to give happiness and the holy name to the entire world. So we can also see and pray to the lordships, to Radha Gopinath ji, Sri Balram ji, and all the sages, and all, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we can also, in whatever our capacities, follow and accept some pains to accept this message of Sankirtan movement and assist in spreading this Sankirtan movement. Jai Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana Ki. Sri Balram Ji Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Hare Krishna.